Okay, today is the 11th of June, the 3rd of Tammuz. We are on Perek Beis. That's the equalizer there?
Yeah, you talk. Yeah,
gotcha. Okay. We're on Perek Beis on... Perek Beis, Halacha, Perek Beis, Pasuk, Yitches. We had just, we didn't say Yitches yet, right? We're just saying Yitches now. Okay, so we finished the dialogue between Boaz and Ruth. We finished the day. Everything that we had had until now happened in the field that day. Now, Ruth is returning home to Naomi with whom she lives. And we're going to see Naomi's reaction. The end of Yud Zion, it said, Vayihi ke'efa sa'odim, and she had gotten an eifa of sa'odim. So eifa is a lot. It was considered an unusual amount. It could be good food for maybe 3 to 5 days worth. So that was a lot for any one day. Okay, vatisa vatavoa ir. She picked herself up and she got together and she went back to the city. We mentioned before that the people lived in the city. It's hard to say it was a city, but the city, the village, whatever it was. And the fields were in the outskirts, much as we are used to in farm communities around here. Vaterechamo saw, and her mother-in-law saw, Eis Asher Liketo. How much she had harvested that day. She was very surprised that a person in a day, let alone their first day, could come up with that much grain, with that much food. And she took it out of the bundles, the packages, however she was bringing it back, gave it to her. That what she's giving her is that which was left over from being satiated. What did that mean? Remember that we said, I think yesterday, that Ruth had actually sat down at Boaz's invitation to have lunch with everyone. That was their main meal of the day, with the harvesters, with Boaz. And she didn't finish her portion that she was given that day. So she brought it back with her. Now, one of the Mefarshim suggests that in that meal in which Boaz handed something to her, and she took a portion, that could be considered kiddushin. That perhaps he was trying to be mekadesh her with that food. But we have a din, of Shulchan Aruch, that from that food, you can't give to anybody else. So how is it that she is giving some of that leftover food to Naomi? So perhaps it's concluded that it was not really good kedushin anyway. And instead, it was the situation that once the balabayas is mechavid you, is mechavid an areach with a portion, now that portion belongs to the areach. So the areach could give it over. Because in a normal case, when you sit at the table and the food is given to the areach can't hand it out to somebody else. But now she has taken her food, she's eaten her food, and she is ready to bring it back, give it to her mother-in-law. Did she save some on purpose so the mother-in-law would actually have good food? Or did she really eat her fill and there was some left? Of course, we don't know. Why does it say vatera? What did the mother-in-law see? Well, she saw the quantity of that which Ruth had brought back. Why do we care about that, though? So she saw it. So what? She could have shown it. She could have, Ruth could have told her what she had. Specifically, she looked at it. And why did she specifically look at it? The Meshech Chochma tells us that an Ani who collects from Leket Shik Chopea and kind of has his own storehouse at this point, has a din of Miser. Because otherwise it looks like, for some reason, that person is exempt. You bring all your stuff together and you have it, and you thresh it, you do whatever you have to do with it to be Chai of Miser. Maybe you do too. So we learn from this that the mother-in-law saw that which she had gleaned, but she realized that it was still leket. It was not separated, it was not organized, it was not prepared in a way that would make someone liable for the maizers that would have to be taken off of it, because the maizers have taken off of it only have to be taken off because it looks like it. Obviously, the etzem of the thing, the essence of the thing, is not that they brought it into the harvest, brought it in from the harvest the way they're supposed to, but it would look like it. So she showed it to her that it didn't look like it, and therefore there was no obligation. Okay, now we really have some interesting language that we have to look at in these next few psukim. So she says, here, she's astonished. Naomi is astonished. So she says, Eifa la katayom, where did you go that you were able to obtain this much material? Where did you get all of this? How did this come out? Malbim writes, how could it be? Where did you go? Tamua al rov haleket. She was really shocked that she could have done it. Viana asis. And she says something to her. It's almost a little bit, perhaps in these next few psukim, we find almost some suggestions that are almost a little pressed. It's on asis. What happened? What happened out there that you got so much? First of all, you achieved so much. You brought back such a quantity. Second of all, they gave you lunch. It's not normal. He said that. What did you do? What happened here? That you garnered so much favor, you conducted yourself in such a way. The anasis, where, what, wow, how did this all this happen? She says, Yihi makirech baruch. There's a blessing here, that those who recognize what you've done here is blessed. Vatagid lachamosan, she tells her mother-in-law, Eis asher asasa, everything. Eis asher asasa imai. That which she did with the person. Vatomer, and she continues and says, Shema ish, asher asisi imo hayom boaz. What strange language.
Not clear at all from the text of St. Bruce, where they were staying, whether it was a property, was there a house that Elimelech had owned, and they were staying there, reclaiming it, or were they staying with friends, because they were penniless, I mean, clearly, not going to afford rent or anything.
Right, they're not renting it. That's a good question. I don't know. I mean, what we do know is that she's staying with Naomi, and we also learn that there's this discussion about whether for the rest of the harvest, Ruth is supposed to go and stay with the other harvesters, or go home every day or every night to Naomi. What is this language? Asher asisi imo. She says, what happened here that you were received so favorably? They liked the way you behaved, and you got such extra food, and you got such successful gleaning. What does it mean, though? Asher asisi imo, which she says, the name of the man with whom I dealt today, which I did with him, was such and such as Boaz. What does it mean, Asher asisi imo? Shouldn't she say, who did so good for you? Shouldn't she have answered the name of the man, Asher asa imi, who dealt kindly with me? What did Ruth do for him? What does that mean?
That also echoes the language earlier in the pasuk, on the asisi.
Right, so it's an odd question and an odd answer. Shouldn't the question have been, who dealt so kindly with you? And then the answer is, the person who acted so nice with me was Boaz. She says, I acted with him. It begins to introduce a very important subject. Malame yoyser ma'asher balabayis osa im ha'oni. Osa oni im ha'balabayis. That which the oni does for the balabayis is greater than what the balabayis does for the oni. Sounds backwards, right? That which the poor person does for the giver is greater than what the giver does for the poor.
It's like Hachmas Asarachim, the mitzvahs on the guy who's giving it.
Think about what happens there. That's exactly right. Think what happens there. The giver has a field. He allows poor people to come into his field. and gives them a bushel, a bucket of corn. And the person eats the bucket of corn, and by the next day, they're hungry again. I'm not using a bucket for any particular reason, just an amount. And by the next day, they're hungry again. So the recipient, it's business as usual, has to go back again. But the giver has done something, has gotten the schus of the mitzvah of tzedakah, which doesn't end when the recipient finishes the food. I got this schus of giving, and it doesn't even matter what I gave. The recipient, though, the recipient's relationship with the giver is probably in large measure tempered by the amount they got. Because if you give the recipient a dollar, he will not be as happy as if you give him five, and less so than if you gave him ten, and so on. So really, the giver, like in the Achdus Sarkin case, the giver is really the receiver. The giver is getting all the schusim, all the blessings that come along with doing this level of mitzvah. So much so that it's almost turned around. Rus, together with Naomi now, feels that they did such a chesed to allow Boaz to have this mitzvah. Right? They told an old story about the poor people who were angry and went on strike and ran away before Purim. So there was no chance to give Matanas Levyanim. So they had to bribe them to come back. So they didn't really give a large measure of them to come back. So she said, we did a great thing that we enabled, but we were the enablers for Boaz to do this big mitzvah. It's an interesting way to look at it. However, the part that's also a little odd, though, is that generally speaking, even though that's true, you don't see the recipient kind of patting themselves on the back. Asher Asisimo, for whom I did this great thing today, his name is Boaz. The guy for whom I did this great thing is Boaz. You don't usually see that. Right? That's not usually the way it works. And there's perhaps a hint to what this really means if we just look ahead for a second. We're not finished with this pasuk, but look ahead. And look what it says about Boaz. He's blessed. Naomi says in the next pasuk, he's blessed. What did he do? Asher lo azav chasdo. He never left his chesed. He's never stopped doing his chesed.
Compared to her husband.
Exactly. We're talking about exactly, exactly. Unlike Naomi's husband, who azav chasdo me'ainim. Unlike my husband, Elimelech, who left the opportunity, literally left, fled, ran away, left the opportunity to do chesed with the poor, and look what happened to him and his two sons, and indeed, look what happened to us. Boaz didn't do that. Naomi and Ruth both know that were it not for the fact that Elimelech turned his back and was betzarasai, and he looked badly upon the poor at a time of their hunger and need, well, they would never have been punished, they had never been dead, and we wouldn't have been in the situation we're in now. So they were uniquely qualified to be able to say how important it is that I, the poor person, did something that enabled the rich person. I, the recipient, had something to do with the giver and the giver's ability to continue to receive the general bracha that one gets by giving. So the recipients are giving themselves a little credit here, but they have the right to. Because they, for sure, better than anyone, know exactly what that's about. And that explains why she says Asher Asisi Imo. The name of the person with whom I who I did for today was Boaz. Now Naomi's happy. But Tomer Naomi Lekaloso. Why is she saying Lekaloso? We know till now she was speaking her Vatagi Lekaloso as mother-in-law. It's not names anymore. It's mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, because now she is already interested. Naomi, it seems, is interested in trying to get a shidduch for her daughter-in-law. She already has in mind, and perhaps this is the one. Vatamer Naomi Lekaloso. Baruch Hu Lashem. She is giving a bracha. She's giving a bracha to Boaz. The Medrash says, quoting Rabbi Yochanan, "La'olam ha'yimana adam atzmei milelech etzol zakein levarchei." That even though Boaz was 80 years old, she's still going to give him a bracha. And what's the bracha she's ultimately giving him? She's giving me a bracha for children. She's giving a bracha for children. Asher law zav chazdo zachayim v'yasam esim. V'atemer law Naomi korov lano ish migoalenu hu. And this man is connected to us. He is one of the, he is a goel for us. We'll see what that means in a minute. So anyway, she's giving a bracha to this older man. And we want to know, why, if Boaz is the gadol hador, he's the main person. So what is this bracha that she's giving him? Why does she have to give him a bracha? He has everything what she wants. Because a person, first of all, can never really, he could be as wealthy and as powerful as he wants. Like the Gemara bracha says about a captive can't free himself from prison. You never can really give yourself. He also can't give himself the bracha. So she gives him that bracha, and hopefully it'll be a bracha that he'll make the shidduch and so forth. And we have another klal that we learn about brachas from this statement. If you are giving someone a bracha, and you're mevakesh rachamim on them, you don't have to mention their name, hanimile befonov. If you're giving someone a bracha in their presence, you don't have to say their name. If they are not present, you have to say their name. So for example, if you're with someone who maybe is not feeling well or is such that they you want to give them a bracha for refuah shleima, you can pat them on the back and say, you should have a refuah shleima. You make a refuah shleima or a mishaberachs or whatever they call it in the shul, where the person isn't there, then they want to say the names of the person. So here she doesn't have to say his name, she thinks, but he's not there. So how do we explain that? That perhaps when she said, Migoalenu, who, the who was referring to him. That who was in exchange for saying him. What's the connection between the bracha that she's giving him as a result of him doing this staka and this chesed and the fact that he should have children? What's the connection between those two things? Rishu ben Levi says, Kol haragil lasot staka havin lo bonim balei chochma. A person who is doing staka, he should have sons that are balei chochma, usher, or balei aglada. They should be learned people, wealthy people, and so forth. And therefore, we get the idea that that's the bracha that she's giving him in the schus of doing his staka. Another thing that's unusual about that particular pasuk is it says, Vatomer Naomi lechalasa, and Naomi said he is blessed and so forth, because he did not leave his chesed from both the living and the dead, and Vatomer la Naomi, he is our karev, he is our goel. Why is it necessary to say that twice? That is to say, Vatomer. Couldn't the Pasuk have just said, and wouldn't it have made perfect grammatical sense, to say, Vatomer Naomi lechalasa, Baruch Hu Hashem asher lo zav chasdo, ezachayim v'yasameisim, v'karuv lanu ho yishmigol en v'vors. some words to that effect. What do I have to add the second Vatomer law? You see right in the middle? What do I have to get, what do you need it for? That sentence wouldn't have been an unusual pasuk. It would not have been an unusual way to say things. So the Kefa Lashon there teaches us something. If it had been left the way that I just suggested it could have, one Vatomer, it would sound like he is to be blessed because he has not withheld his kindnesses from either the living or the dead, comma, he is our relative. He's one of our relatives or something like that. That would be the normal way people behave, right? People want to do chasadim, to do chesed, for their relatives, more so than for strangers. That's not an odd observation. And had she said it that way, that's how it would have come out. Instead, she wants to bless him and say good praises about him, both in general and with specificity. In general, he's a person, shelo ozov chasdoi mechayim v'yameisim, who has not left his good kindnesses from either the living or the dead. And he is also a korov of ours, a relative of ours. He is migoalenu. He is one who is said to be a goel. Now, again, what was the relationship?
He's Naomi's nephew.
He is Naomi's nephew, right? On one level. And on another level, he's a cousin of hers, right? Of the four brothers, she's the son of one of them. And then it says, migoalenu. What is this concept of goalenu? The Torah says in Vayikra, Chof Hei Chof Gimel, that when someone is in a bad way financially and is forced to sell his property in order to get out from under his debts, mortgages, property, whatever the procedure was in those days, the goel, the redeemer, the relative, comes forward, I think should come forward, and redeem that property by buying it from the previous creditor who's now been satisfied with it, or the person to whom it's been pledged if it's just a debt. And the other side can't object to that. So let's assume that there are fields, there's property, that got taken out of the family either because of a debt or because of a mortgage or because of whatever. The goel comes and gets it back and redeems the property back into the family unit. Here there is such property, right? There's a property. How it got encumbered, when it got encumbered, what happened with Elimelech. There's property that needs redemption. Naomi, and that Goel Adam has other responsibilities, one of which is not Yibum. Not Goel Adam, sorry. Goel. One of which is not Yibum. Actually, there is such a thing as the Goel Adam. One of the responsibilities of the family, person who acts on behalf of the family, is Goel Adam when the case comes. Here, there's not a Goel Adam issue. It's not Yibum, though. Yibum is a specific obligation that falls on a specific person, and he's not it.
It sounds as though Naomi is laying the ground for redeeming the family property.
Yeah, she is.
He is the candidate that she has in mind to do that.
To do the family property.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Right? So at this point, because you know it changes a little bit later, at this point, the goalenu here that we're talking about here is to get the family's property back. The Malbim, though, says on the goalenu, extends it a lot and says, "Hagoel tzarech uliyave, shebazeh yigal nefesh hameis, leval yimachish mo b'Yisrael." She wants to take, at least according to the Malbim, and say that responsibility of kind of restoring the family order, if you will, person gets murdered, he goes in and chases him down. Family land gets encumbered, it gets sold, he goes and gets it back. According to the Malbim, she wants to include in that Yibum. It's not technical Yibum. Why? It's not technical Yibum. This person was not the brother of the now deceased husband of Rus, and we will leave for the moment if the announcement that the conversions and the ability to marry only came a couple days before, leave all that aside. Assuming it was all allowed, he's not the Yibum candidate. Right? So that's, she is extending that according to Malbim to say that within the scope of being a Goel is to restore that which existed to the family before, and one of those things was kind of to restore the name of the now deceased Machlo.
I mean, if you the Torah says about Yibum, it's different to him. That's a tremendous condition.
Right. Well, okay. So that's a Machlo. Right. Yeah, I'm reading it exactly. Mom said Goel Tzarechul Yabim. So that the Malbim isn't saying the Malbim is saying that's what she's saying. And she says, Mi goalenu hu. What does that mean, mi goalenu? He is among the category of persons who would be considered a goel. And she says specifically, yesh od goel v'hu echad mehem. There is yet another one. There's another goel. Now we know, because we know the whole story and how it turns out, that the other goel is Ploni Almoni. Right? Now Ploni Almoni, we'll see if he has another name, and we'll get to him another day. But what was his relationship here to Naomi, using her as the compass boy? He is what?
Naomi's uncle.
Naomi's uncle. She, one of her father's brothers. This is the son of one of her father's brothers, so obviously the father's brother is this in terms of the lines is closer. So Boaz, she says, is Migoalenu. He's of the group of persons who potentially could be a goel of ours. Whether the question of the women's inheritance and all the other issues that we will address when we get to the actual transaction, put aside, she's saying now that Boaz is in this class of people who potentially could be our family representative to restore our family order. Vatomer Rus Hamovia. We haven't called her that for a while. We're back to calling her Hamovia again. Why? Let's see in 1 second one possibility. Vatomer Rus Hamovia, Gam ki Omar Eli, and in addition to his kindnesses, which he extended to me, Boaz, he said to me, Im han ne'arim asher li tidbokim, cleave to, stay with, be with, associate with, spend time with, maybe remain with for the rest of the harvest. Adim kilu es kol kotzer sherli. The ne'arim. What are ne'arim? Men. Boaz said, stay with my men for the next few weeks till the harvest is finished. The problem with that is if you go back to Pasuk Ches, in which Boaz makes his offer, what does he say to her? What's the difference between Na'arim and Na'arosai? Everything. Na'arosai is female. Na'arim is male. Why is Rus coming to Naomi and saying, Boaz said, I should spend time with the young men? When what Boaz said is, you should spend the time and be close to the young women. This is very perplexing. Quote that Rus gives, and one of the things that I'll leave you to think about is why did this pasuk, in which she references being close to the man, when she's in a way inaccurately quoting him, why does this pasuk once again start referring to her as a Moaviyah when we haven't called her that for a while?
So we'll pick up with that on Monday, God willing.